Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our epistle reading from Romans chapter 8 with an emphasis on these words. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, who more than that was raised, who is seated at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Friends, at this point in 2020, you might very well be on the brink of asking yourself, if you haven't already, what else could possibly go wrong? I know for many of us this year has been particularly challenging, and it's hard to think that it's barely halfway over. First, there's the obvious. COVID-19 hit us at the beginning of March, and it feels like our lives have been pretty much upside down ever since. We miss meeting together. We miss eating out at restaurants with loved ones. We miss shopping without a mask. We miss seeing a movie in the theater. We miss all other kinds of things that this miserable disease has taken away from us. But then, of course, there are all the usual stressors of our sin-stained world to consider as well. Political turmoil, as we seem to be in the habit of each election year, has certainly not been put on hold. Adding to this are riots and protests, racial strife on a level not seen in our nation since the civil rights movement, scandals involving human trafficking syndicates, Neuralink technology threatening to beam advertisements directly into your brain, and if you didn't see it on the news already, now it seems that Yeezy is running for president. It's no small wonder that what we're seeing on TV and social media has many people saying that the year 2020 is somehow cursed, that this is the just deserts for our nation and our world that they have brought onto themselves by their political striving or self-serving ways. Anxieties are now running high. Workplace anxiety, homebound anxiety, anxiety between family and friends, separation anxiety. You may consider it small consolation then in light of many of the troubles that I just mentioned, but I want to assure you today, 2020 is not cursed, as some people claim. No, that would just be ridiculous. Rather, humanity is cursed. I know what you're thinking. Oh, gee, Pastor, that's not much better. But wait, I want you to hear me out this morning. From the moment that we are conceived, Scripture reveals to us that we are born under the curse of sin. It is because of this curse that 2020, for many of us, has been so terribly stressful. It's also the reason for any other awful day, week, or year that you remember. Because of sin, our days on this earth are numbered. We are frail, weak, and flawed even at our best, and all of these problems and anxieties we have, in a very real way, remind us that we are poor, miserable sinners. Bo Geertz, a former bishop of the Lutheran Diocese of Sweden, had a special term for this kind of harsh reminder that we all undergo. He called it the hammer of the law. You see, the law of God has as its second function the purpose of showing us our sin. It does this through the law's own innate power to accuse us. When we fall ill, when we make a mess of things by our lies, our selfishness, our pride, when we face death, this is the accusatory power of the law bearing down on us, pronouncing us guilty of sin and showing us the consequences of our crimes. The law makes plain the consequences of sin. And the time that we live in now has showed us plainly what many of those consequences look like. This is why so many people recoil in disgust when talking about the state of our world. They see in the world a reflection of their own sinful and fallen nature. We don't like to stand accused, particularly when we know that we're guilty. The hammer of the law does not beat around the bush. The wages of sin is death. That is what we read in the scriptures. We've seen a lot of death this year, whether it be on the news or up close and personal. Death is our just deserts for the many wrongs that we have done, and it is part of the reason that so many people feel completely and utterly lost right now. Death separates us from the ones we love. It punishes us. It wears us down. It would claim to destroy us and even try to separate us from our God. The worst part of all of this is that we do it to ourselves. We bring it upon ourselves. All have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, in Romans 8, we hear some very different words concerning the separation brought about by death, don't we? If any of you are clinging to the hope that 2020 is going to pull some kind of dramatic turnaround, that people will be kinder to one another, the economy will somehow surge, we're going to see a miraculous cure for COVID, or that all of our personal problems will evaporate, then, dear friends, hear the hammer of the law as it tells you that your hope might be in the wrong place. If anything, we might expect some of these things to get worse in the coming times. But that's not where Romans 8 leaves us. Romans 8 gives us this hope, that in spite of the fact that we are poor, miserable sinners, that we are weak and weary, hopeless and dying, St. Paul still asks the question, who is to condemn us? You might notice that I added the word us here to the English for two reasons. One, to be closer to the original Greek, and two, to make this point. The us that I reference here are those whom Paul writes these amazing words of comfort, those who believe in Christ crucified for the forgiveness of their sins, those whose hope is built on the solid rock of their crucified and risen Savior, and those who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy. To those people, I ask you, who can condemn them? Who can hope to point a finger at those who trust in Almighty God for deliverance? St. Paul expands on this question. Can anything on this earth, no matter how big, how terrible, how anxiety-inducing, condemn us to the separation of Christ from Christ's love? What, out of all of those fears and anxieties we listed, has that kind of power? St. Paul asks, can anything hope to undo the mighty act which he accomplished for us on Calvary's cross? Can tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No? Well, what about politics or the media or COVID-19 or even death itself? Does the supposed curse of 2020 separate you from Christ's all-availing sacrifice? No. And more no. Hear again these words. Christ Jesus is the one who died, who more than that was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Remember the accusation and judgment of the law which has pronounced you guilty and deserving of death? Christ Jesus has borne this judgment on your behalf. Christ Jesus has died your death, rising victorious to never die again. There is no curse of man or angel or demon strong enough to undo what he has done for you. Whether things start to get better or, God forbid, become still worse, you, dear friends, are baptized into Christ. You are his own cherished children, a people for his own possession. You are an individual for whom Christ gave his life, an individual whom Christ has called his own, one whom he now petitions for at the right hand of the Father. This is what St. Paul means when he writes that God be for us. He didn't merely mean that God is okay with us, or that we can live on in peace so long as we don't stoke the flames and provoke God's wrath. No. God is active in the care for his children. Our concerns are the concerns of our Savior, and he not only takes them to heart, he actively addresses our needs with his good and gracious gifts. Our God grants healing to our woes in the assurance of his presence. He gives us the forgiveness of sins by his own authoritative decree. He accomplishes for us victory over death through the all-availing sacrifice of Jesus. And you, dear brothers and sisters, you are now called God's elect. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? No one. For God himself has justified you. Whether it is in good times or bad times, he remains your God. He remains the one who made you, and you better believe that he will remain the one to preserve you in tribulation and even death. This is the trust that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, that just as he was there at our inception, just as he came to suffer and die for our sake, so also will he come for us again to deliver us from all mortal struggles and the wages of sin which so plague us in this present day. God is faithful to us, and so we place our faith in him. For just as St. Paul says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In short, there is nothing God wouldn't do to keep us with him. Rest assured, my fellow elect, in this certain comfort, that united to Christ, nothing in all the world could separate us from his everlasting love. In his most holy name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.